There's a name of a person I'm going to introduce you to now who certainly some of our listeners will know very well, and I'm sure plenty of other people have heard of it. Emily Writes. Now, Emily started blogging about the reality of being a mother a couple of years ago, and since then has absolutely taken off in terms of, and I don't know, this may go too far, but has become the voice of reason, I think, for a lot of mothers and a lot of people in terms of following her advice and getting her view on parenthood, especially, of course, motherhood. Now, as well as blogging and a very prominent position on social media, Emily now has a book. She has regular speaking engagements and a column. And as I said, has become a true advocate for many, many mothers and their children right across the country. I'm very pleased to say Emily Writes has joined me here in the studio for an interview. Good morning to you.
Kia ora. Oh, that was such a nice introduction.
Well,
Thank you.
I didn't want to overblow it, but I think certainly from mums that I've spoken to, you have become an advocate for them. You have become someone that they follow, that they trust, that they want to hear from, and your views on a range of parenting issues.
Yeah, well, I mean, that means a lot to me. I would love, you know, I love mums. Like, I'm a mum of two, and, you know, being called an advocate for mums is really lovely for me, because that's all I want to do is support other mothers, because I've had a lot of support too, and I want to make sure that every mother has support. So,
how did this all start? Where did the idea come from to start initially writing a blog?
Oh, it was completely accidental. I had a two-year-old, an almost two-year-old, I think, and a three-week-old baby, and they were sort of tag-teaming overnight with, I would get one to sleep and then the other one would wake up, and I was just losing it. And so when I'd finally got them to sleep, I wrote a rant, really, you couldn't call it anything else, about how tired I was and how, you know, it's really around how people say, be grateful you have children. And of course you're really grateful, but you're also like, I'm also really tired. Mm. So you can be grateful and totally exhausted as well. So I wrote a bit of a R-rated rant that I thought I would just a couple of my friends might read. I did it on an old blog website I had. I'm not technical at all. I don't know how to do any of that stuff. And then the next morning, my son had hidden my phone somewhere and I could hear it going off all day, and I was thinking, what's going on? And by the time I finally found my phone, the blog post had a million hits and it had just gone berserk.
Astonishing.
I have no idea. How does that happen?
So, but obviously it's someone reads it, this is the way it happens. She gets shared
I had no Facebook page. I had no blog. It was my first blog post, I guess, and I mean, I had a Twitter account and I'd shared it on Twitter, just being like, just to my friends. I had a small, you know, I wasn't, you know, popular on Twitter by any means, and I guess it resonated with people, because I think mums they get so much pressure to just be silent around how hard it is sometimes. You know, I went into parenting thinking, oh, you know, this isn't going to be a cakewalk, but I didn't think I would have days where I was just crying in the shower, because it's so exhausting and hard.
And you found out from since this started that there are so many other mothers who go through exactly this.
Well, it had, you know, thousands of comments. I had 15,000 emails from around the world within a week. And reading, like, it took me 6 months, but I eventually read every single email. But, you know, that's what made me keep going, because I wrote that and thought, it's a fluke. I've got no desire to be a blogger or whatever that means, you know. But I saw these stories from women and they were saying, you know, I feel like I can't ever say this is hard. Mm. Like, I feel like if I say I'm exhausted, this isn't what I expected, or I've had the worst day, they get people jumping down their throat and saying, you know, you're lucky, be grateful, cherish every moment, you know. Mm. And they're just like, no, I'm just tired. This sucks right now. My kid won't eat anything but luncheon.
So you were effectively, and what you've been doing, is showing the reality of actually what it's like rather than the perception of what some people might think.
I think that, you know, we live in an age with Instagram and social media where everything's perfect and all the kids are always dressed beautifully and, you know, every mum looks like she has it together. And what I saw from all these emails, and certainly how I was feeling myself, was that there are all these mums who love being mums and they're so good at it, but they all feel like they're bad mums because they have all this pressure to be perfect all the time, and we're not perfect. And our kids don't need perfect parents. They just need parents who love them. And so I thought the first post was a fluke. I figured I'll just keep doing it if people read it and I have something to say. And then, yeah, it kept going. And a year later, I got a Penguin approached me and did the book. So it's been it still feels like a ridiculous whirlwind, but I feel like the luckiest person.
That's
in
fantastic.
The world.
The book, by the way, is called Rants in the Dark, which we'll get to. So what were you doing before all of this? I mean, did you?
I was knee deep in nappies. As I said, I had a 3 week old baby and a almost 2 year old, and so my world was very wrapped up in looking after them. I was way, way before that, I was a failed journalist. I'm too thin-skinned and soft-hearted to be a journalist. So I was a terrible journalist, always arguing with my editor. It's great now. I don't have to argue with anybody.
You can just write whatever you want. That's right. And you've become known as well for not being particularly PC on many issues and also not being afraid of delving into issues that otherwise there might be a bit of concern about getting into.
Well, I think that, you know, that with this whole mummy blogging thing, a lot of it, like the Instagram perfection and that type of thing, it's about cultivating an image that you can sell to other mothers and in turn sell products to mothers. So it's an income, actually, blogging, mummy blogging these days. And so there, I think it's a real shame that a lot of the topics we should be covering as mothers aren't, because then mummy bloggers will lose followers and things like that. So I'm not too worried about that. So I talk openly about being pro-vaccination, even though that causes a lot of trolling and people saying I'm not following you anymore because you're pro-vaccination. But, you know, stopping children dying from preventable diseases is more important to me than being liked.
In fact, there was a post that you did earlier this year on pro-vaccination, which I think would make a lot of common sense to a lot of people, but there is that element of people who are anti-vaccination. But the trolling got so bad that you decided, look, I just need a break from this now.
So my first baby had many surgeries. He had a very serious respiratory condition and we almost lost him, and it was an awful time. And because of that, we as a family are like lots of families with immune compromised children or children with high health needs. Vaccination's very important to us. So I posted a video showing what it was like when my baby was trying to breathe as a child and said, if you watch this and think whooping cough is sort of just a cough, maybe you'll change your mind after watching this video. But it was a very straightforward message. I didn't say, hey, anti-vaxxers, you're awful or anything. I really try to just say everybody needs to make their own choice, but look at what's here. But yeah, I got just the most horrific abuse that I've had in a long time. And I was really actually fearful for my safety and the safety of my kids, and
really,
that's why I went offline for a month. But I was so overwhelmed with support from it, and just incredible, like, mums from around New Zealand sent me cards and gifts, and like, oh, it was amazing. Like, I was really, one mum group did a collection where they all wrote lovely things in cards and letters to me. And after that, I thought, I'm not going to let these people, you know, because
this is the problem. I mean, this is one of the issues with social media, I guess, is that you have to, if you say something, you have to expect, I mean, much like in my role as a talkback host, if you say something, you have to expect people to come back at you from any angle. But with social media, a lot of it is so anonymous as well, and that you can cover yourself up and just say the most horrendous things. So I'm really glad to hear that. And I'd imagine that the vast majority of feedback you got from people was one of support.
Yeah, and it was. And I think that, you know, what concerns me about it now is it's not debate. People don't want to debate the ideas because I'm happy to do that. I feel confident enough in my stance on things. I am incredibly careful about the positions that I take because I'm speaking to thousands of sleep-deprived mums. I'm a sleep-deprived mum. So I never have knee-jerk sort of positions on things. But I try really hard and I work, you know, when I do blog posts about vaccination, I get a doctor to do them because people should trust a doctor, not a blogger, you know. Mm. But I find that it's not debating ideas. It's just vitriol and it's trolling and it's aggressive and nasty. And I just think that's, I worry that it scares people away from public life because it's viewed as going hand in hand if you want to. And also, I didn't choose this. I feel very lucky to have what I have with the book and everything, but I didn't choose it in that, you know. I think that dichotomy of this expect it, I get that a lot, like, well, you choose to put out columns, so it's, you know.
To the point where, as you said, you were approached by Penguin, the publishers, to actually write a book, Rants in the Dark. That must have been a real achievement in your life.
It was just absurd. Like, it's like that happens in movies to me. Like, I always had, like any person who likes to write, you hope one day you'll have a book, but I had kids, so I was like, well, that's the end of that.
Has our attitude towards the challenges facing mothers changed, do you think? I mean, is the attitude changing, say, from when you or I were growing up?
Well, I think that there's a heap more pressure on mums these days. I think that they get advice from everywhere and that, you know, I think that's different. I think that social media is a really great lifeline for a lot of mums, but I think at the same time it's constant pressure. Mm. You can't go on Facebook without either being advertised to but also having all these people saying you need to do this or that. And there's all these sort of huge arguments over things that don't matter. Like, I'm sure back in the day probably people gave their kid a dummy or they didn't have to put up with 300 people having a go at them for giving their kid a dummy, you know. There's all these things that, like, Facebook mum groups I think are good for connection, but also I've left all of them because I look at them and think, why is everybody fighting over car seats?
Yeah, there's just a lot of aggression, isn't there? There's a lot of...
I think mums are afraid that they're being judged, so it puts them in this hyper-defensive sort of position, and they think maybe if I do it first, I won't... You know, I've had times where I've been replying to somebody and getting annoyed at something, and I've had to go, Emily, what are you doing? This person is not parenting at you. They're just parenting, like, calm down. And so I say that to myself a lot, but I think it's we are in this like critique and judge place, and it's full on.
We certainly are. Do you get many fathers involved? Do you get to hear from any fathers?
Yeah, there's some really great, lovely dads out there. And while I don't write for dads, to be honest, and sometimes I get people going, oh, what about the dads and all that? But I'm like, well, you're a dad, you can go blog yourself.
Exactly.
But I get lots of, I mean, I'm a mum, I can't write from the dad's perspective. But I do get heaps of lovely dads email me, and I've met lots of dads for coffee to talk about how they can support their wives more when there's like severe sleep deprivation going on, or P&D, I just really feel for dads. Like, I talk to some dads who've wives have gone through or partners have gone through birth trauma, and they don't know. I mean, it's awful for a dad to witness a really awful birth and then need to support his wife and not know how to do that, or his girlfriend and not know how to do that. So I think there's amazing dads out there. We need a really good dad blogger.
Absolutely.
I'm sure there's one. To be honest, I'm not really down with the dad blogging stuff.
Have you got plans now? I mean, are there plans for another book at some stage, if you can even think about it yet?
I just don't know. The book feels like my baby. I really love book, and I really hope that it's a friend in the night for sleep deprived mums. And I feel like that's enough, really. I don't think people need my another book from me, but
there will be demand. You know that, though, don't you? Lovely, Emily. Hey, that's fantastic. I'm so glad to have met you. As I said, from all accounts, from a lot of women that I talk to with young children, you're an absolute inspiration to a lot of people as well.
That's so very kind of you.
Thank you so much for coming in for
thank
chat.
Thank you.